parents as domestic terrorists? I know that's a bit dramatic, quite alarming, but that alarm has been sounded. Montana's Congressman Matt Rosendale joined the program today to talk about the potential of the FBI surveilling parents protesting critical race theory or mask mandates at local school boards. Also, we focus on civility thanks to a listener's call. And then we got some quick hits on prescription drug pricing, illegal drugs across our porous southern border, and the current budget and infrastructure bill, which may or may not hit the House floor this week. I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Subscribe, follow us, and also comment on Facebook. You can get a hold of me here at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Here's the show today with Congressman Matt Rosen. Good morning, Congressman. How are you doing, sir?
Outstanding. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing good, too. Even for Monday, I kind of dragged my behind around a little bit, you know, but...
Well, it's good to hear the moisture is starting to blanket the state and we can put the rest of these fires out.
It's been a long summer. It's been a long couple of years, hasn't it?
It has been. You know, I mean, we've seen some years that were as bad or worse, but the structures that were lost this year, the acreage that was burned, I mean, you know, a million acres of ground is a lot of territory. We lost a life. We had another hospitalized. I was glad to see he made it back home again. Well, I'm glad that that part of the season is coming to a conclusion.
Yeah. And I know there's things that we can do regarding, we can get in there and better manage our forests. I know we've talked about that. We can talk about that too here. I wanted to just get to the top of the week here, and it's Columbus Day. Happy Columbus Day to you, sir. I know that Congress is usually not in session, but it is this week. Why?
Because the Democrats haven't learned how to get their poop in a scoop, to put it bluntly. They've been trying to figure out what to do about budgetary issues and legislation since I was sworn in on January the 3rd. And now they have pushed everything off to the last minute. That they have discovered that is the easiest way for them to get legislation passed is to make an emergency out of it. And then everybody's running around this city with their hair on fire and feels like they must do something, even if it's wrong. I do not join in that sentiment, I will tell you. As you know, I've sat there with you many times, Tom. We're going to do something right or we're not going to do something at all.
I know. And you know, I served a member in Congress for a number of years, and this was like turn of the century, you know, 2000s and on. And there was a regular budget process. There was a regular appropriations process. There were a dozen budget bills that were to have been come out of Congress constitutionally by this time every year. And that process has not been followed. But one time when the GOP was in control in the last now 20 years.
I know, Tom, and I continue to speak this to anyone who's willing to listen. The problem is that Congress has turned all of this power over to the hands of a few, and we absolutely have to get back to where Congress is functioning. Everybody says that, but the way to get Congress back to functioning is to disperse that power back out to the members. And Nancy Pelosi has absolutely destroyed the rules and the decorum that takes place on the House floor and consolidated that power. And so few of us are able to really direct the policy. As you said, it used to be 12 parts. And my anticipation, the expectation when I came to Congress was we were going to do just that. That's how the Montana State Legislature worked. You broke it out to 5 pieces. It wasn't 12. And you had debate, you had discussion. But quite frankly, Tom, when the Democrats have got Maxine Waters in charge of their finances, and, you know, Maxine Waters is running the checkbook, that should scare every American.
I appreciate that. And I'm just going to say that's not partisan talking there. That is what's happened. The decorum and the rules in our House of Representatives have been just thrown out for political purposes. That's okay. That's just my opinion. That relates then to people fighting back, trying to take that back, at this local level. Talk about, well, I got about a minute here, and we'll continue it. I got some headlines upcoming here. But the Attorney General Garland's school directive, school board directive, you have some thoughts on that. A lot of people have some very hard thoughts on that.
Justified, look, and they have some justified concerns and worries. And we are going to be able to go into that in much greater detail. I know I don't have much time before this break, but this is scary when we start seeing the President of the United States directing the Department of Justice to begin conducting surveillance on parents for exercising their First Amendment rights.
Wow.
Terrible. That is not America.
Let's take that break, then come on back and unpack that, because it's important. It's part of the fight that we're in now. Montana's Congressman Matt Rosendale with us, back with more here on Voices after these headlines from Brian Bennett. Back on the Northern News Network with Voices of Montana, former state auditor and commissioner of securities and insurance, former leaders, leadership in both the Montana House of Representatives and the Montana Senate. I mentioned that as an auditor because we're going to talk about drug pricing a bit later on, and I know that Congressman Rosendale had moved the ball on that issue in the auditor's office. We'll still talk about infrastructure reconciliation and the border issues. Let's get back to this call from our Department of Justice to survey, surveil, I should say, school boards. Matt, what's the talk right now in Washington?
It's disturbing, and I will tell you that people across the nation are speaking up against this. I mean, you talk about a violation of our First Amendment rights of the parents, not just anybody walking up and down the street who may want to protest something that their government is doing. We're talking about parents going to the school board meetings to protest their children being taught things that they do not support. That is exactly how a school board is supposed to function. And if the parents have been troubled by this critical race theory that the school districts are trying to teach their children to hate America and about all the terrible things that we have done, instead of actually teaching the children that we have lifted more people, the United States of America has lifted more people out of oppression and poverty than any nation on earth, and has asked nothing in return. They're trying to demonize us, these districts are, and make the children hate our country. And how dare their parents come in and think that they know better than these elitist educators that sit behind a desk that are going to try and tell folks what they're going to do. We see television commercials now, and you probably have seen them as well, where McAuliffe has stated in an open debate, the candidate for governor in Virginia, that we're not going to let the parents come in here and tell the schools what to do.
Yeah.
That's what the parents are supposed to do. And now to take that additional step and see this administration, whether they conduct surveillance or not, Tom,
yeah,
this is still an extremely dangerous intimidation tactic, and it should scare everybody across our nation.
All we've seen is a lot of words right now. What do you know about the implementation of this directive?
We don't, and this is another problem. No more than we know anything about the implementation of the vaccine mandates that Biden has put out there. I mean, this is nothing more than a statement that he made on television and has not put a single rule out to implement it whatsoever, because the reason is that as soon as he does, the lawsuits will begin. Our Attorney General, Austin Knutson, he's not going to stand by and allow a Biden administration to impose mandates on the people across the state of Montana. He's going to file a lawsuit, and I assure you there's many other attorney generals that will join in with him to file those lawsuits. There's going to be private industries and businesses that will file these lawsuits. But right now what we're seeing is the strong arm of the Democratic Party muscling and making political power pressure on different businesses across the country to make them enforce vaccination mandates and other mandates. And I am really pleased to see the public is saying enough already. 1,800 flights canceled by Southwest Airlines today, okay, to date, because they can't staff adequately all of their flights going in and out. Why? Because they started trying to implement vaccination mandates. The president must have gone down there and put the strong arm on them, and now it's giving them financial problems. And we're going to continue to see that reverberate around the country. That's why we need to stand together as a nation and say, we're taking our schools back and we're taking our country back.
I got like 20 seconds here. Is it possible to, I know you're in the minority party there, to pull A.G. Garland into Congress and testify on this policy?
Oh, you can bring him in to testify, but they are masters of deception. The Democratic Party is masters of deception, and they won't answer questions, and they will deflect and try and push it off on what, something else that they're going to try and say is causing these problems.
It does get people fired up. Matt, or Congressman, stand by. We'll come on back with more of Congressman Matt Rosendale in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
When you see railroad tracks in your community, you're looking at a partnership lasting 170 years. BNSF Railway has cared about your community for generations. BNSF continually invests in equipment and technology to keep our employees and communities safe. Help keep your family and neighbors safe. Remember to stay alert when you are near the railroad tracks and to only cross the railway at designated crossings. Let's keep each other safe, and let's keep the economy moving for the next generation. This is BNSF.
Good to have you here. I hope you're kicking it for a Monday. You got no choice, right? Okay, so then let's just get out there and do the job and do it well and, keep your head down. Got a headwind. It ain't nothing. Thanks for being here. Tom Schultz alongside. We will get to this reconciliation, the budget bill. Going to get to, maybe I've set the plate a little thick here, border issues, drugs resurfacing in Montana, and also want to talk about drug pricing transparency, because Matt Rosendale is with us here, and I know as a former auditor, we got some, I would say, progress done in that regard. Congressman Rosendale, thanks again for being here from Washington, D.C. Take a quick call as we're talking about education, and it's good to hear from Pat. She listens in Helena on our KCAP affiliate there, 950 AM. And good morning, Pat. You're on the air with the congressman.
Good. I wanted to ask the congressman if he's been to one of these meetings. I haven't. And what I'm wondering is how do the parents present this? What's happened to civility and good manners? Is that what they're showing? Are they yelling and getting hot? Is that the way to present your problem? I was just thinking that their presentation needs to be dialed back if they want to be heard. And, of course, they have First Amendment rights to be heard. But, you know, let's not turn it into a riot. If you want to make a point, calm down. What is happening to people? I just don't understand it.
I think that's a fair question because, Matt, you work in Congress and there are rules about civility there, and there should be understood rules as a civil society, but some of those lines are being crossed, I believe.
Yeah, and you know, I have always prided myself on being able to take input from everyone in the room on all sides of a discussion, and I think that the best way to do that, Pat, is to make sure that we focus on the policy itself. And what has happened is when we have these folks sitting behind the desk that have decided what the outcome is going to be before they have taken input, and they are it's very demeaning to the people that are trying to testify, and then they begin to try and shut them out of the conversation. And that is where we start losing the ability to have a civil discourse. And I also believe that is about this power distribution. When you consolidate the power into the hands of a few and are not truly dispersing it out to the larger group, whether you're talking about the school board listening to the parents or whether you're talking about the leadership in Congress not listening to the 435 members across the country, it's not a good thing. And people start feeling that they are powerless, and that is when they get aggravated and the discussion tends to get more aggressive.
Well, I agree that we need to listen to each other, and that's how you conduct a meeting. And not only in this instance, but, you know, even here in the legislature when people testify, and in the local, you know, when they're having the mayor is having a meeting and he doesn't include the community, that's a sore point. But the behavior, I just can't understand the behavior. I mean, my goodness, if you acted that way, what would your mother say? I mean, I'm wondering what's happened to civility and good manners.
Well, Pat, and I appreciate that, but I think that we're looking at maybe isolated incidents.
It doesn't need to happen at all.
It doesn't, no.
I mean, and it hasn't in the past. And so I am saying, what are the people behind the desk doing? Are they yelling back? Are they throwing things? Are they spitting on people? Are they screaming?
Well,
are they yelling and stamping their feet?
You know,
what are they doing?
I haven't seen people I haven't seen people who are testifying taking any of those actions. And I think that what happens is that in many cases, if someone does get a little bit emotional and get a little bit more aggressive than you would like to see at a meeting, that is what the media has begun to pounce upon and make sure that they show it time and time and time again. And I'm sorry, but it's so that the administration can justify taking actions just like this and directing Merrick Garland, Attorney General, to start using the force and power of the Department of Justice to intimidate people from utilizing and exercising their First Amendment rights. And I'm absolutely 100% against that.
Well,
We've got local laws in place that say how you're supposed to conduct yourself to make sure that someone doesn't get out of hand, assault another individual, or make any types of threats. So the local law enforcement is certainly capable of taking care of those things. When it rises to the level that the administration tries to use the power of the White House to shut down conversation, we've got a major problem taking place across this country.
Pat, I appreciate the call and the discussion. I'm going to move on from that, but thank you for calling, and thank you for redirecting us, as you do at times. That's Pat listening on KCAP 950 AM in Helena. We're going to run out of time, Matt. Drug Pricing Transparency and Accountability Act, what is in this? Why is it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm really pleased to put this forward. I promised everyone that I was going to continue my work on trying to increase access to high-quality health care and reduce those costs. And so we rolled out the Drug Pricing and Accountability Act last week, and it's to put the 340B drug program square in the sights of the Congress. The 340B drug program has been terribly abused over the years. It was put in place so that hospitals could purchase drugs at a very low price, next to zero. And then they were supposed to pass that savings on to folks that were in the Medicaid, Medicare, or uninsured communities, that they were able to get their prescription drugs at a very, very low price. And what has happened is the hospitals have found some loopholes, and they started utilizing these what they call child sites. Now, everyone else would think that that is something that's going to be a pediatric center. But what it is, it's got nothing to do with children. It's what most of us would call a satellite site. Mm. And they were purchasing child sites in areas that were underserved, gave them the ability to purchase these drugs at an extremely low price, and then they're transferring them to other locations and selling them at full price and taking that benefit and spreading it across the hospital community, that specific hospital's balance sheet, if you will. And so all we're doing is saying, you know something? If you're taking advantage of the 340B drug program and you're buying these drugs for an extremely low price, we want to see what you're paying for them and who you're selling them to and for what price.
Oftentimes,
I don't think that's too much to ask for.
No, and that's why I'm curious, is because oftentimes you'll see parties come across the aisle, so to speak, to work on good health care reform. What's the discussion regarding bipartisanship in this measure?
I am very hopeful that we can get some Democrats to support this, Tom, but I will tell you something. There is an incredible amount of money in the medical industry right now, an incredible amount. And we saw that when we took on the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers, when I was in the auditor's office. And they sued us to try and keep us from getting access to information. And so we no longer have the Copper Kings. What we have is the medical monarch. And that is what's pushing around legislation. So again, I'm hopeful. It's the right thing to do. And if we have more Democrats that sign on to something because it's the right thing to do, then this will become law.
I want to talk real quickly about, I think you had some meetings with Montana law enforcement. They're seeing, as they report, and you can tell me, please, what your experience was, but I think that they are seeing an influx of drugs coming to Montana from the southern border.
They are. And what they've shared with me right there in Yellowstone County was that they felt that 80% of the violations, okay, were drug related. And they are seeing the meth that's coming out of Mexico. It's arriving into the reservations. It's being distributed around the state. And that exasperates the human trafficking situation. I mean, it is a bad thing. And so when we look at the southern border, Tom, and we know that there's been 1.5 million encounters already this year. We listened to DHS Secretary Mayorkas say we could have 400,000 encounters in the month of October. Tom, we're talking about over 2 million people that possibly could be in our country from other nations coming through the southern border this year. That's twice as large as the entire population of Montana, twice as large. And we don't know who these people are, and we don't know where the Biden administration is distributing them. And that is a problem. And meanwhile, while the Border Patrol agents who I've met with, they came up to Washington. I've been down on the southern border. They're doing their very best to try and maintain things there. As they get a group of individuals get pushed across the border, 100, 150 people, their resources are all tied up attending to those situations. That's when the cartel, who are extremely savvy business people, will push their high-value targets to other areas. High-value targets being criminals, high-value targets being meth, being fentanyl. I mean, it is a major, major problem. And quite frankly, it is not too severe to call it an invasion of our southern border.
And thank you for that. I mean, that's exactly what law enforcement has to do. Okay, so if we can't plug the policy at the southern border, what are those local sheriffs saying we need to do more and better in Montana?
They are trying to figure out ways that they can accommodate all of the criminal element that they end up having there in each one of the counties. And that is a major problem. You can't build beds overnight. You can't build facilities overnight to house everybody. So unfortunately, what happens is they have to start prioritizing, and they start looking at the population of people that they have in prison, and they start making very difficult decisions about which one of them are going to be least likely to hurt someone if they were released. And it is unfortunate, and it is a bad situation, but that is what they're being forced to do.
Well, thank you for staying on top of that. Real quickly, because I know you got to run, reconciliation, is it tied to infrastructure? What's on the floor this week?
So they do not have the votes for reconciliation and infrastructure. The two are tied together, and this is a battle that's raging between the Democratic Party. I won't say the moderate and the radical. It's they're all radical. They are spending us into oblivion. I mean, it is. The reconciliation bill, Tom, they're calling it $3.5 trillion. They don't talk about the $2 trillion of new taxes that they're adding into it. They don't talk about the funding for Medicare, Medicaid, expansion of dental, optical, daycare, community colleges, that in 3 to 5 years, this legislation doesn't even address where that funding is going to come from. So it's really much, much more than $3.5 trillion. What we will look at this week is the to do something about the debt limit. And I've got major problems with that. You know, I learned a long time ago when my folks first sent me out to get a job and to actually earn my own paycheck that you have to make sure that you don't spend more than you make. And the Democrats have had zero attempt at trying to control spending. And when you're going into debt this bad, the first thing that you have to do is stop digging the hole. We are rapidly approaching $30 trillion in debt. And they have made no attempt, Tom, to do anything about reining in spending. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. They're putting it in high gear to try and continue spending. And there's a major problem there.
Well, and some of that ought to be owned by the Republican Party as well, because coming out of Washington, D.C., we just – people like to say that, you know, we brought this money back and brought that money back. And here's a math problem,
Tom,
for you.
Look, Tom, I agree with you.
Yep.
I agree with you. It has been bipartisan spending. And I think that that's why the people of Montana sent me up here. It's because I will call an ace, the spade a spade. And I will say, yeah, Republicans are spending too much money, too.
You have. And I appreciate that. I know I'm out of time, but I think we might be running into each other down the road a little bit this week, huh?
I am looking forward to seeing hometown,
yep,
man.
Yep,
Friday.
Yep.
And look, don't consume too much of my time Friday, because I've got a date with a bird dog and a couple of pheasants.
Heck, I might have to tag along. Hey, Congressman Rosendale, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I know it's tough working in the environment, but just, you know, keep chipping away, okay?
Thank you so much. Glad to be on with you, Tom.
All right, Matt Rosendale. Yeah, that's in reference to... from Glendive, and we're going to be up there with the Tow Rope Tour this weekend, this Friday, as a matter of fact. Matt's going to actually stop by there. That Tow Rope Tour is going to be held at the county courthouse, and I think I joked that I'm still nervous about going in there, but I'll buck it up. Hey, back with more Final Thought here in just a bit.